Hey there, Niners. This is Julie Lerman. I'm doing a series of very quick demos showing you Entity Framework Core on different platforms and tooling. In this video, I'll use Visual Studio 2015 to create a simple console app using the full .NET framework and EF Core. While EF Core can be used in conjunction with a cross-platform .NET Core, that's not a requirement. So this video will let you see it being used for a regular Windows app in .NET. And I'm creating a little console app to track a list of movies I like. This will be a simple console app using the full .NET framework, and what I'll create is a small application to track a list of movies I like. I'll start by creating a new console project. Notice that this is just a regular .NET framework project template, and it's targeting .NET 4.6. I'll call it Movie List. When that's created, I'll add a new class using the keyboard combo Shift-Alt-C, and I'll name this one Movie. I'll be sure it's public, and I want three properties, an ID, which will be an int, and two strings, title and release year. And that's all this class needs for this little demo. Now for the program. I've got a pre-written set of logic for you, so you don't have to worry about writing the code for interacting with a console app. Just go to my GitHub page at github.com Julie Lerman and open the repository called Movie Quotes. Be sure you're on the master branch, which has two files. And then click on the program.cs file to open that. And then if you click on the raw link, you'll get a plain text view, which you can just select and copy. Now back in Visual Studio, delete the existing code in program.cs and then paste in the code you just copied from my repository. My version starts by calling the showMovieList method. That displays two hard-coded movies numbered 1 and 2, and then calls the showMovieMenu method, which displays options to add a movie, edit a movie, or quit. If the user types a number, that number will get passed into the editMovieNameYear method. Otherwise, the program will assume you typed a letter, and if that letter was A, it will call the method that adds a new movie, and if the user typed Q, it'll just quit. Otherwise, it will display the movie list again. The method to add a movie prompts for a title and a year, but it doesn't know how to save this yet. The method for editing a movie isn't even implemented yet. Here's a quick look at what it does so far without any persistence, because we haven't even added EF Core into this yet. So there's the hard-coded movie list. I'll press A, and there's the prompt for a new movie title, and then a prompt for its year. Then the list is displayed again. Since I haven't added logic to persist the new movie yet, that new movie isn't in the list. And I'll just press Q to quit the program. Now I'll go ahead and install Entity Framework Core into the solution. Rather than just installing the core components of EF Core and then worrying about where I'll store the data, I'll begin by installing the EF Core package for SQLite, which is the database I plan to use for my persistence. That package knows that it needs EF Core, and it will bring that in as well. And EF Core has a lot of other dependencies, so all of that gets installed for me. And that's because EF Core isn't built directly on top of .NET Framework, so it has to bring along all of the things it depends on. Now that EF Core is in my project, I can build up the logic to use it for my data persistence. All of EF Core's database interaction is dependent on a class called the DB Context. So I'll create a class called MovieContext, then I'll have MovieContext inherit from DBContext. My DBContext class needs to expose a way to interact with a classes whose data will get persisted in my database. And you do that by creating a property called a DBSet for each class. I only have one, so I've got a DBSet of movie called movies. EF Core needs to know what type of database you're using and where to find it. There are a number of ways to specify this, but I'm going to hard code it into this DB context just for the simplicity of building this demo. And I can do that by overriding the DB context on configuring method. That will give me this options builder object. And because I've installed the SQLite provider, there's a use SQLite extension method available. This method just needs me to pass in a connection string, and I'll just say the database is called movies.db. Since I'm not adding any path information, that database is going to land in the debug folder. In a real app, you would want it to go in a smarter location. So now the context knows what classes to work with for persisting data to the database. It knows it will be using a SQLite database, and it knows how to find the database file. I need the database to exist before I can start working with it. The most common way to do that with EF Core is through its migrations feature. Since not everyone using EF Core will need to use migrations, the logic for using migrations at design time is stored in its own package. So I'll go back to the package manager to install that. And it's called Microsoft.EntityFrameworkCore.Tools. Notice that there are a few different tools packages. The first one, that just ends with tools, will let me work from the Package Manager console in Visual Studio, so that's what I'll choose here. Once that's installed, I can open Visual Studio's Package Manager console and perform the first step, which is to tell EF Core to look at the DB context, discover what classes are involved, then look at those classes, and from all that information, it can infer what the database schema should be. So I'll do this using the add-migration command and provide a name for this first migration, and I'll call it initial. In response, EF Core created this file that uses EF Core syntax to describe the database schema. Notice it's specifying that it needs to create a table called movies, and that should have columns named ID, release year, and title. EF Core uses its own conventions to determine what the database should look like, but you can easily override those. So adding the migration file was the first step. The next is to tell EF Core to read that migration file and create the database for me based on what's in this code. I could just have it create a SQL script for me, but I'll go a different path and let it create the database directly. The command for that is update-database, and it's spitting out some information about what it did. But instead of reading that, let's look at the database. I've installed an extension called SQLite SQL Compact Toolbox. It's a free extension created by Microsoft MVP Eric Eilskov Jensen. And in the toolbox, I can add a new SQLite connection, and I'll go into my solutions bin debug folder to point to the new movies database that I just created. Once that's connected, I can open it up and look at what's in the database. Migrations created a table to keep track of which migrations have been run, and also it created the movies table, and there's its ID, release year, and title columns. Notice that EF Core conventions also recognize that ID is the primary key for the table. With EF Core, the DB context, and the database in place, it's time to go back to the program file to add in the ability to read from and write to this database using EF Core. I'll start by adding a program-wide instance of the movies context, and I'll call it underscore context. This is fine to do for this demo, but not generally something you'll want in a more complicated application. Now, in the show movie list method, instead of a hard-coded list, I want to use that context to read the database and list movies that come out of there. So I'll create a method called getMovies, and I've defined it to return a list of movies. It will do that using a link to entities query, and that uses my DB context instance, then the movies DB set I define, and finally by calling the link to list method. When this is executed, EF Core, along with the help of the SQLite provider, will translate this into a query against the database, execute the query, read the results, and create movie objects from each of the results. And that list of movie objects populated from the database results is what my getMovies method will return. Then I'll iterate through that list of movie objects and write out the ID, the title, and the year to the console window. But I don't have any movies in my database yet, so I need to put some more logic into my method that adds movies. I'll start by creating a movie object using the responses that the user typed in for the movie title and year. Then I'll tell Entity Framework Core to add this object to the DB set that's tracked by the movie context. So that's context movies.add and my object. Once the context is aware of the movie, I can call the DB context save changes method. This will build an insert command for SQLite and execute it on my database. So it will insert this new movie into my SQLite movies database. Then when I run show movie list again and it reads from the database, you'll see the new movie in the list that spit out to the console. So let's see that in action. I run the app and there aren't any movies here since the database is still empty. I hit the letter A, and just like before, I'll get prompted to add a movie and then a year. But this time, when the list is shown again, you can see the new movie I just added. And I'll add another movie, Star Wars, from 1977, and now both movies are listed. Now we can implement the last feature, the ability to edit a movie. Most of the code you'll need is for interacting with a console, so I've got that part written for you already. Just go back to my repository, and this time open up the edit movie CS file. Then again, click on raw so you can copy the text. Back in program.cs, go to the edit movie name year method, and you can get rid of the line that says not implemented yet, and then paste the new code there. The show movie list command will still be there at the end of the new code. There are two placeholders in the code you just pasted. First, we need EF Core to go to the database and get the movie the user selected, and we'll use the ID that got passed in. But instead of a link query this time, I'll use the dbsetFind method, so context.movies.find, and then I pass in the ID. That will execute on the database and return a populated movie object. The following code first checks that the movie isn't null, in case the user typed a number that wasn't in the list. But if the movie was found, then it will prompt the user by first showing the name of the movie, and if the user doesn't want to edit the title, she can just hit Enter. Otherwise, she can type in a new title and then hit Enter. After that, the app will prompt the user to edit the year if she wants to. Since this code retrieved the movie using EF Core and the context is still in scope, it'll be aware of any edits I'm making to the movie object. So I can now just call Save Changes. EF Core will build an update command using the ID of the movie and the title and the year and execute that on the database. Let's see this in action now. I run the app and realize that I forgot to put the word the in the title of The Princess Bride. That's number one, so I'll hit the number one on my keyboard, and I immediately get a prompt for the new title. I do want to edit the title, so I'll type in The Princess Bride and hit Enter. Now I'm getting a prompt to edit the year, but that's okay, so I won't type anything. I'll just hit Enter. My app then pushes this update to the database and then re-retrieves the list of the movies in the database. And you can see the movie's now correctly listed as The Princess Bride. So there you have a very quick start for building a full .NET Framework application in Windows in Visual Studio 2015 that uses EF Core for its data persistence. I'll be doing more quick starts in this series, but if you want to learn about Entity Framework Core in much more depth, check out my Entity Framework Core Getting Started course on Pluralsight. It's designed for EF newbies and developers who have experience with earlier versions of Entity Framework. I'm Julie Lerman, and thanks for watching.